Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Forces rushed to evacuate American embassy staff from Sudan's capital. The Pentagon says the operation was fast and clean. Service members spent less than an hour on the ground. The evacuation comes amid a week of bloody battles between Sudan's army and a paramilitary group.
Yeah, you have a couple of different warring factions there in Sudan, which if you don't know your geography, it's very understandable. Most Americans don't. And, it just is. Our knowledge of world geography is not all that great. This is just south of Egypt and, you know, not landlocked, but, you know, Khartoum is a ways away from the water and a ways away from Ethiopia and Eritrea over there on the east. And basically we sent in special forces to get people out of the embassy because there was no other good way to get them out. This is David Martin from CBS reporting.
Both generals of these two warring sides had been warned in no uncertain terms, do not interfere. But you couldn't count at that because we've seen all these ceasefires break down. So the aircraft went in at night, low level, and they had 100 special operations commandos on board. Those commandos set up a perimeter around this landing zone that was just outside the embassy and guarded that perimeter while the diplomats boarded the helicopters. Overhead, there were two C-130 aircraft, one of which was for communications. The other was a gunship ready to take anybody who tried to approach the embassy under fire. They were on the ground for a little more than half an hour.
Wow.
No shots were fired. And then they were back on their way. Somebody called it a pretty easy in and out, but
easy day. Easy. Well, when it works and nobody shoots at you, easy day. Pretty aggressive warnings apparently from the military to both sides in this case that you better not. And, you know, it's one thing to go in with some Chinooks and some, U.S. Air Force Special Forces. It's another thing to go in with some Chinooks and some Special Forces and a spooky overhead because they understand, you know, what a spooky can do. That's the gunships that fly, at least I don't think all of them, I ought to check on this. I don't think it's all of them that fly out of Hurlburt, but, you know, that's one of the assets that they deploy out of Hurlburt. I didn't think we had Chinooks out of Hurlburt, so, you know, they would have been staged from somewhere else. I could be wrong about that. It's more Ospreys and the 130s that are based there. But, they basically go in, set up a perimeter, and get everybody out of the embassy.
It was a long and grueling night. I mean, from start to finish, it was 17 hours.
And it was so high risk. This went, sounds like, as best as could possibly be expected, but there are still hundreds of American citizens who were on the ground. There was no plan to evacuate them. These were just government personnel pulled out. The State Department and the Pentagon say they'll do what they can to help Americans get out. What does that mean?
Well, it certainly doesn't mean going in and seizing the airport and doing the normal kind of evacuation aboard airliners out of there. What it means is conducting reconnaissance along this land route that goes from Khartoum all the way over to Port Sudan on the Red Sea, which is a 12-hour drive under Wow. the best conditions. So they can conduct reconnaissance over that, and then they can have U.S. Navy ships waiting to take in any Americans who make that drive. But that, again, will be at a minimum a long and grueling drive, and, you know, the conditions are just chaotic.
Yeah, not a particularly safe way to get out. But look, you're buried 400 to 500 miles inside of Sudan. You know, because you, I mean, that's where Khartoum is. And when things go completely haywire and you've got these two warring factions, both of whom, you know, it used to be like they would cooperate when they supposedly took over the country for democracy. And then lo and behold, the military forces that take over the country for democracy both want to actually control the country for their side. And so all of a sudden, everybody's in jeopardy, and still thousands of Americans there inside the country trying to get out. And as you heard David Martin mention, you know, are they going to try to make a land convoy of some kind across this, you know, disputed territory with, you know, what, a spooky overhead, you know, maybe a predator or reaper or something like that, and, you know, eyes, and hope that that's good enough? And maybe it will be. But obviously, it's a pretty hair-raising situation right now. And as he said, there's no real possibility that we're going to go in and commandeer an airport and do a massive airlift or something like that. And, you know, we didn't already own an asset like, you know, when Kabul was being evacuated, that we could, you know, simply get him out easily that way. So very challenging things over the weekend that took place, you know, Saturday night into Sunday morning. As this was Shannon Bream, yesterday was the intro, talking about this on Fox News Sunday. So this is not this morning, this is yesterday morning. 516 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. How was your trip to the beach over the weekend? Oh my goodness, did you see any of the photos of the traffic that was backed up all the way into the 3 Mile Bridge? And you know, there's nothing so exciting as three lanes of high-volume traffic backed up to the beach. Well, look, I'm sympathetic to the snarky meme posters and, you know, see, this doesn't fix anything. Widening 3 Mile Bridge was never meant to give you great access to the beach. It was meant to facilitate traffic flow from Navarre through Gulf Breeze to Pensacola. That's what it's meant to do. There's no plan to widen Bob Sykes Bridge to six lanes, because what would be the point? And where would you put the extra lanes once you got onto the island? And, you know, everybody's like, well, once you get there, where are you going to park? Exactly. Look, more people want to go to the island than it's feasible at a given time to put through the traffic that goes to the island. That's, I don't know, it's math, you know. But you've got a bridge now that if there were an accident, you can still drive around. Traffic doesn't stop on either side of the bridge, and accidents can be pulled over. And I don't know. I was watching it and thinking to myself, yes, going on a hot Saturday, you know, or a hot Sunday, there's going to be challenges. But there was never, I mean, if you thought like, well, we're going to have the bridge and therefore there won't be beach traffic. I was like, what? You've lived here though, right? I mean, like, are you aware of the problems and where they come from? And I will say this. Whatever the level of traffic backup was on, I think it was Saturday, was the one where people had the most trouble, it would have been worse before when we had just the people manning. And I've said this before, I'll say it again, I give great credit to Robert Bender. I was against going to a cashless toll. I was wrong. That was in terms of a traffic flow, it's way better. Oh, yeah, people still, you know, slow down when they don't need to at the toll. That's understandable. That's human nature. It's, yeah, they don't know how to read the sign that says don't slow down. They slow down because it seems like the kind of place where you slow down. It's like telling people to, you know, drive slow on the road that looks like it was built to drive fast. You tell people not to slow down at the toll booth, and yet everybody knows you slow down at the toll booth. So it's just human nature. What can be done? Well, you know. Maybe, you know, I saw some comments online. People said, well, maybe you could take the, you know, the roof off and reconfigure the equipment so that it doesn't look like a toll booth. Yeah, but then they're still going to have to go to the light and they're still going to have to go to the parking lot. And there's, you know, it's, I don't know that you're really going to solve anything. But the idea that you wouldn't solve anything by putting in a free flow traffic lane to the right. No, it does make things better. Or that you wouldn't solve things by getting rid of the physical in-person attendance at the toll booth. No, that did make things better. But yeah, you can't jam three lanes of traffic into two lanes of traffic. Again, I hate to say it in almost a condescending way, but that's just math. You know, that's just the way that works, okay? If you put a 1-inch pipe into it, well, if you put a 1.5-inch pipe, let's keep the math straight. If you put a 1.5-inch pipe into a 1/2-inch pipe, or into a 1-inch pipe, what do you get? Well, you're going to get a backup. That's what's going to happen. So anyway, did it mean that nobody enjoyed the beach? No, it just meant that it took longer than it should. 520 on News Radio 92.3. And you know this, go off-peak hours. go later in the day, go earlier in the day, or go during the week. You know, that's part of the benefit of living, in paradise is you can go whenever you want to. Or to some degree, you know, you can go at times where you know not everybody's trying to go. Now, I will say this. I know there's a lot of people who don't like the fact that, like, Visit Pensacola is constantly marketing us and advertising. Hey, come to the beach, come to the beach, come to the beach. Which, I understand. I do. It's the same general thing we have with Florida. You know, why would you tell people to come to Florida when we have too many already? I'm torn because I get what they're trying to accomplish. And you can't, it's like a restaurant. You know, you can't schedule it to only come evenly throughout the day. They come, the times are going to come. But we want packed. That's better than empty. Economically, that's better than empty. It's not great at the moments when it's overpacked. But it is better for everybody at all the rest of the time. So I understand the concern. I sympathize with the concern. But I think this is the kind of problem you would like to have rather than the other. Besides, listen, you can all go to Perdido. Well, you know, pay to go to Johnson Beach. And it's not like you have easy access anywhere. But and by the way, I saw that that was also overflowing over the weekend, but not backed up the same way because people don't know about it quite the same. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you're thinking about buying that next vehicle, I recommend Frontier Motors. And here's one reason. When you go to buy a used car, I recommend a Carfax. Everybody recommends a Carfax. I mean, I'm not special in this way. I actually recommend beyond a Carfax that you get a used vehicle inspection by a mechanic you trust because a Carfax doesn't necessarily have everything about the car. I know from experience, having almost bought a car that didn't have any airbags, that had a clean Carfax. But then, you know, like, because I didn't know. It got basically totaled in Texas and then retitled in Arizona, and I didn't even realize it. Couldn't even figure it out. So I took it to a mechanic. He's like, you know, this car has no airbags. Oh, now I do. You know, so, okay. Anyway, the point is, you know, the used vehicle inspection is a really good thing. But Carfax is a good place to start. It's a good basic. And if somebody doesn't offer you one, you kind of wonder why. But no big deal. Just go to, you know, Frontier and just tell them you want a Carfax. They'll run it. Like, you know, you're buying from some individual or off of some corner lot or whatever. No problem. Frontier Motors, you know, they'll give you one for free. Why would they do that? Because they can. Because they just want to help. They want to make sure that you don't buy a car that without getting as much information as you possibly can. So they will literally help you buy a car from somebody else. How many car dealers do that? Well, Frontier does. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell him Andrew McKay says hi.
Do you struggle with occasional nerve aches in your hands or feet? Try Nervive Nerve Relief from the world's number one nerve care company. Nervive tablets contain alpha-lipoic acid to relieve nerve aches, weakness, and discomfort, plus B-complex vitamins to support healthy nerve function as you age. Live life with less nerve discomfort with Nervive Nerve Relief. Learn more at NerviveHealth.com. And try Nervive Pain Relieving Cream to block nerve pain signals at the source. Use as directed.
The Pete Moore Imports lineup of Volkswagen crossovers and SUVs will fit your lifestyle and your particular budget, whether a Taos, Tiguan, or Atlas. Pete Moore offers you smart choices, starting with the 2023 VW Taos. This sporty crossover is a joy to drive and is packed with technology. Right now, a 2023 Taos SE is discounted to start from $31,439. The 2023 Tiguan SE comes with third-row seating, modern looks, and cargo capacity to hold plenty. It's discounted to start from $32,899. And for the ultimate comfort and more than enough room for your family, friends, and furry companions, the VW Atlas is built for adventure. The 23 Atlas SE with technology now from $41,599. Pete Moore Imports has the selection and prices you've been searching for. They're not in Car City, but at 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tax, title, and dealer fee. See dealer for details.
I had a nighttime routine for my frequent heartburn. I would drink milk, I would sleep upright with more pillows, but that painful burning stayed. So I made Prilosec OTC part of my morning routine. With just one pill each morning, Prilosec OTC prevents excess acid production, blocking heartburn day and night. Now I have a new nighttime routine. I call it sleeping.
One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. With Prilosec OTC, it's possible while taking Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Wherever you are, you can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620.
All right, can I be a super nerd for just 1 second as opposed to all the other times?
Yes.
So when Tina Turner wears chainmail, you pay attention, right?
Absolutely. Or any other time, but yes.
And some super nerds be like, I think it was ringmail, dude. No? Nobody? Nobody? All right.
Ringmail.
526 on News Radio 92.3. No, that's what I'm saying. That's the kind of those are the kind of friends that I have would say something like that.
No, but you're right.
Oh my gosh.
I know. What's the SCA? I know.
That's exactly right. Like a four, you know?
I didn't have friends growing up. I'm sorry. That is a fun thing to be.
She doesn't have a shield. All right. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines.
You're right. It's ringmail.
President Biden calling for a ceasefire in Sudan after the evacuation of U.S. embassy personnel and their families from Khartoum. At least one American among the 400 killed since rival groups began fighting for the control of the African nation 2 weeks ago. Jury selection beginning today in the trial of a man accused of killing 11 people at a Pittsburgh synagogue in 2018. Prosecutors say Robert Bowers was armed with an assault rifle when he carried out the attack at the Tree of Life in October of that year. He faces dozens of charges, including hate crimes resulting in death. And only one of two remaining survivors of the sinking of the USS Arizona in Pearl Harbor has now passed away. Ken Potts died on Friday in Provo, Utah. He was 102 years old. And according to the Stars and Stripes, his death leaves 101-year-old Lou Contras the last remaining survivor.
Yeah, one person. And yet at the same time, the fact that anybody who had lived to be over 100 years, that's amazing. And he was like the one who passed away. He was like off the ship at the time and working on a loading crane or something like that. And they'd told him all to get on the ship and he'd gotten in a boat and was heading there. And it just goes right down. You know, it's just unbelievable. So and, one person left. Only one person left. Wow. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about selling your home or buying a home, obviously you need a good real estate agent. And, you know, one of the things I think about is, like, how often do people do what they do? You know, like, if you've got a mechanic, okay, who worked on two cars last year. I mean, you know, two is better than none. Or a mechanic that worked on 200 cars last year, which mechanic do you want to go to? Well, it's kind of the same thing for a real estate agent. Like, you know, most real estate agents in a year sell 2, 1, 3, 0 homes. That's very common. Out of 3,000 agents on the MLS, 1,600 so far this year hadn't sold any as of April 1st, so the first quarter. Some, about 20, had sold more than 20. 7 had sold more than 30. Christina Leavenworth sold 36, had 29 more under contract. So 65 plus pushing on the first quarter. And it's just a simple question of, you know, do you want to go to a realtor who sells a house a year, or do you want to go to a realtor who sells 230 a year? You know, who's going to make sure that they get it done for the right price, and, you know, deal with whatever problems come up, because that's always the issue, is like, you know, something happens, what do you do? Well, you know, we did that 14 times last year, or, man, I've never seen that in my life. You know, like, which reaction do you want to encounter? All I'm saying is Christina's a pro. Absolutely pro. Her team is amazing. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty. 529 here on News Radio 92.3. I actually think that it is chainmail, by the way. Now that we've had that whole conversation.
I think it's ring mail. There's a difference. It's not chains. It's little rings on.
Yeah, I know. Well, whatever. Either way,
never
it's
mind.
Funny.
I mean, what are you talking about, dude?
I don't know.
You tell me. I have no idea. Don, you want to help us out?
Our local experts.
I know.
Now I got to go back and watch the movie. I got to look and see, well, what really was she wearing? I'm just saying that's the kind of arguments that people would have. People are upset about the McDonald's hamburgers because they can't order them without onions now.
that makes sense.
When they've rolled it out. And I don't know that they've rolled it out everywhere locally. It's still like this gradual rollout through this year and next year. But anyway, the onions are cooked in the patties like White Castle's been doing for as long as you've been alive. Anyway, so my wife's like, well, good. Who wants those people buying my burgers anyway?
Yeah, more burgers for Danny. That's right. I hear us.
What do you have coming up, David?
Escambia High School with a big win over the weekend. I'll tell you more after Fox.
Fox News, and I'm Chris Foster. President Biden's back at the White House after a weekend at the Camp David presidential retreat in Maryland. He's expected to officially announce his re-election campaign as soon as tomorrow.
The announcement by the president is expected to come via video message, which is exactly 4 years to the day since President Biden entered the 2020 race. Only 22% of independents said that they would definitely or probably cast a Biden vote in 2024. On the Republican side, that same NBC News survey shows that 60% of Americans do not want former President Trump to run either.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff. Police in Kenya tipped off about shallow graves, report recovering 58 bodies so far. The pastor who owns that farm is under arrest.
Officers raided the property and found 15 emaciated people who told them they were starving on the pastor's instructions in order to meet Jesus.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 61 degrees, partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. Well, the robotics team from Escambia High School brought home a first place win over the weekend. It was at the NASA Human Exploration Rover Challenge that was held at the U.S. Rocket and Space Center in Huntsville, Alabama. Now, the goal of this competition was for the teams to design and build a vehicle that could take on challenging terrain and possibly explore the moon or even Mars. Well, Escambia's robotics team beat out 48 competing teams from high schools all over the nation. They took a first place victory. And not only that, they also took second place when you combined when you add in college teams to the competition. One person taken to the hospital after crashing into a power pole on North Palafox yesterday. The Florida Highway Patrol says this happened at an intersection with Lenox Parkway, and troopers say black mercury hit a power pole. It did cause a partial roadblock for a little while yesterday. The driver was taken to the hospital, and right now we don't have an update on their current condition. A man arrested over the weekend for allegedly threatening people with a machete. That happened around Mobile Highway and Lynch Street. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says 50-year-old Everett Norman threatened people with a machete, left the area in a black Chevy Tahoe. Deputies say Norman was found a short time later and reportedly waved the machete out of the car window. He was arrested on aggravated assault with a deadly weapon charges, taken to the Escambia County Jail, where he was held on $15,100 bond. A strong Japan is good for America, and a strong America, good for Japan. That's what Governor Ron DeSantis said in Tokyo. DeSantis and his wife met with Japan's prime minister for 30 minutes. He said afterward that Japan has been a heck of an ally for our country and said he's a big supporter of the U.S.-Japan alliance. Governor DeSantis says he's planning to meet with officials from the country's two largest airlines to discuss adding direct flights between Tokyo and Florida, and says direct transportation would deepen the state's economic ties with Japan. It is 5:34 here, News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 First Warning Weather.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your First Warning Weather update. Beautiful day today with temperatures warming up near 76 degrees for your high, 10% chance of a stray shower, otherwise partly cloudy skies, lows overnight dropping near 57. Nice weather continues for your Tuesday with a 10% chance of a stray shower, otherwise partly cloudy skies, high on Tuesday near 78, Tuesday night temperatures dropping near 65. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app today. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke, for that update. Right now, it is partly cloudy. Very nice morning out there. 61 right now in Pensacola, 65 in Gulf Breeze, and 61 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage.
News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel, and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in this morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory to our truck to your driveway. Most other window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing.
Going on now, save 35% off factory direct windows and doors. Call 1-800-NEW-WINDOWS.
Listen to Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade interview the latest newsmakers and cover the biggest national stories. Weekdays 11 to 1 on News Radio 92.3.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, 5:38 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Monday! Woohoo! If it's 5:38 and you're awake on a Monday, happy. Yeah, let's say yes. You're here with us, so that's a yes. Friday, we had a chance to talk to Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. That's the southern half of Escambia County in the kind of the beachfront areas of southern Santa Rosa County. Alex, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Great to have you. By the way, we didn't connect last week for, I don't remember what, we had scheduling issues, but congratulations, named one of University of Florida's 40 under 40 for 2023. Congratulations, man.
Yeah, no, thanks. It was a great honor getting to go to Gainesville last week and participate in that. It does say something about the college campuses right now. Another person who received the award last week was a guy named James Uthmeyer, who happens to be the Governor DeSantis' chief of staff. And when they made the announcement that he received the award, they were so afraid to say who he worked for. All they said was, "Works for the state."
What?
Well, I mean, I had a professor say they were going to quit when they saw that I received the award, so... There's definitely a toxic kind of situation going on college campuses and the politicization of administration and staff.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting the other day because you've been, obviously running HB 999, the one that would change a lot of the – what I have said is an effort to kind of pull universities in Florida back to the middle is kind of the goal of that bill where, so many universities in the nation are so far to the left. And I thought it was funny how a couple of different people who work at, I think it was FSU, maybe it was UF, who basically said, this bill is going to destroy everything. And, my thought was, aren't you kind of admitting that there's such a strong bias already? If that's the way you're presenting things.
This guy's been falling for 30 years, ever since Republicans gained the majority in Florida. This guy hasn't hit the ground yet, so I think something else is going on.
So that bill H bill 999 is going to pass, I would assume. It looks like the Senate companion is going to pass, and that's going to become law. One that you have been running that you and I have talked about in the past, this defamation bill, HB 991, that's the one that would change the standards for defamation involving, public figures, and it would seek to kind of chip away at or change the way things have been operating since New York Times versus Sullivan. That bill's not going to go, is that right?
Yeah, most likely not. I mean, I like to joke, what is dead may never die, from Game of Thrones. Yeah. But most likely not. The Senate sponsor, Jason Broder, and I both made the call just not to have it heard in its final committees this past week. There's a lot of boxes you have to check when you're moving legislation, especially legislation with that many eyeballs on it. And there's so many more important issues going on this year that we just, Jason's got so many more bills, and he controls a very large part of the budget. He controls, the DEP environmental side of stuff over in the Senate. And we both just didn't have the time to commit to go get all of those boxes checked to make sure we have the right product and we could pass it on both sides. So we just made the call to work on it next year.
Well, there's always the future for these things, and there is literally only so much time that you have in session. You've also got just signed into law, I guess, last day or two. Governor DeSantis signed the death penalty. 8-4 is enough to send somebody to be executed. And then I apologize. I thought it had been signed into law. I guess it has, but forgive me if I'm wrong about that, that for the first time has a non-homicide offense, sexual assaults against children, is a death penalty offense, which I think an awful lot of people celebrate. I mean, not that you can celebrate on this, but, really think that's the right treatment of these folks. The one thing that I had always had a concern about with that is if you say it's death for molesting a child, you incentivize killing the only witness in a lot of these cases. And that always concerned me as that treatment. Your thoughts on that?
So death penalty for these kinds of crimes used to be on the books. And in fact, it was only recently, I think 2012, 2013, when Kennedy versus Louisiana made its way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the decision by the Supreme Court was that you could only impose the death penalty on homicide cases. If you actually read that Kennedy versus Louisiana case, I challenge you to say that the death penalty wasn't merited. In that case, the facts were egregious. I remember reading it in law school to this day. It was so gut-wrenching and awful. So while I have my own personal issues with the death penalty as a whole, I believe that it's incredibly expensive. It has no deterrent effect. You run the risk of killing innocent people. If we're not having the debate on doing away with the death penalty, if we're operating in the world where the death penalty is an applicable punishment, I think that some of those cases that where you're talking about essentially you're killing a child.
Right.
You might not take their life, but you are killing that child. You're killing their life. I think the death penalty, if it's available, should be applicable.
Yeah, and by the way, on the concerns about the death penalty, I am a very firm believer in the death penalty. I think most people who believe in it for the wrong reasons. I completely agree with you. Deterrence, A, is not shown to be a value on the death penalty because of the incredible length of the process of actually executing somebody. But also, I don't think that people who are murderers are rational in the way that the death penalty would serve to deter them. And, I don't think you can use the argument that having a harsher penalty than people deserve in order to discourage them from a behavior is rationally justifiable in the first place. You can only punish people up to the point that you're justified in the punishment. If it happens to deter, that would be a nice bonus, but that can't be the rationale for ratcheting up a level of punishment. And so, in my opinion, as a philosopher, I think that the deterrence argument entirely falls apart in this conversation. Next week is a budget talk. Is that right?
Yeah. So we have most indications that we're going to start conferencing, where I'm going to start negotiating with my Senate counterpart in my appropriation silo to try and bring our budget in for a landing. So probably starting Monday, we'll start conferencing and negotiating fully. And hopefully by the end of next week, we'll have a final product that we can lay on the table, give it, you know, 72 hours to rest, kind of like bread. And then once it rises, we can vote on it to pass it. So I think it's a good sign that we'll end session on time this year, hopefully, knock on wood. And I think it's going to be a great budget.
And is this the end next week? I always forget the dates of the session. Is next week the last week?
No, there's one more week after that,
okay,
technically. You know, we still got lots of policy to pass, but, you know, hopefully we can get a budget done and you know, settled by the end of next week.
And then the last thing I want to ask you about, because it is the only thing that anybody cares about in the last 48 hours, really about 25 hours, what are you, Alex Andrade, going to do to make sure that nobody ever gets an EAS test alert on their phones at 3:45 in the morning on a weekday?
Well, so State Senator Blazing Golia from Central Florida made the announcement yesterday that he wants to file a bill next year called the Stop Wake Act.
I know, it's hilarious.
Fully intend on supporting that on the House side if he does, because I don't think I got the notice somehow. I'm not sure exactly what happened. I think my notifications on my phone are such right now where some of those notices don't come through to me. But yeah, it seems to have affected everybody. I think that was inappropriate.
Well, it must have been nice to be able to sleep yesterday. Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2, the southern half of Escambia County and the beachfront portions of Santa Rosa County. And again, a 2023 honoree of the University of Florida's 40 Under 40, or as he likes to call himself, a double gator. Alex, as always, thanks for the time, sir. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. 547, News Radio 92.3. You know, when it comes to heating or cooling your home, you got a lot of choices for HVAC maintenance, repairs, or replacement. You want to know that when you pick up the phone, the job's going to be done right first time, right? That's Peden Air Conditioning, Heating, and Electrical. Their focus is quality service, quality products, quality installation. And now is the time to make sure your system is ready for the summer, runs efficiently, won't waste energy, will work the whole entire time through, and, you know, will do what it's supposed to do. So call Peden Air Conditioning today. Set up an appointment to have your AC inspected. $49. That's special right now through May. $49 for an inspection. They will also do sewer camera inspections. $250 off the repairs. The inspection is free. But if they need to do repairs, then get $250 off from them. So, you know, Peden Air Conditioning and Heating anywhere in the vicinity. I mean, all the way over to Destin, Fort Walton, Panama City, of course, right here. And they're expanding now to Baldwin County very soon. So if you need AC work or replacement, Peden electrical work or any kind of stuff like that, Peden, they will take care of you. Check them out at Peden, PEADEN.com.
If you're looking for something to do, check out First City Art Center, where there's something for the whole family. Blast to history and culture. Visit firstcityart.org for more.
Hey guys, I'm Nicole Stacy. There are more things to do in our area than you can even imagine. So who better to share the adventure of the Pensacola experience than the team at Visit Pensacola? Share with us your experience by using the hashtag ExperiencePeakOla. Go to visitpensacola.com and listen in Friday at 9:30 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
It's the biggest party of the year. Unfiltered, off-kilter, and a little unhinged with PLT's Cabaret Off-Broadway. Saturday, May 6th, Cabaret's Playhouse theme transforms the theater and surrounding block into an indoor-outdoor entertainment complex, seamlessly fusing local art and celebration to showcase art as the life of the party. Come immerse yourself in the best of Pensacola's art scene. Get your tickets now before it sells out at the Pensacola Little Theater box office or online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
You can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620. Online at newsradio923.com or on our mobile app.
My name is Pussy Galore.
I must be dreaming.
Bad news is, if you love Bed Bath & Beyond, that 15 to 20% coupon will only be good through Wednesday because they are declaring bankruptcy and they will not be honoring their coupons, according to at least one story that I was reading. The irony of this is that if they do all close by June, which is what the current plan is, but, you know, things can change. You know, things can change. They're way down in employees and they've been suffering. You know, they never really adapted all that well to the online. They had supply chain issues during COVID and
their
never came back from it.
Their stuff's expensive as hell.
And I'm speaking from my own, like, I was never a Bed Bath & Beyonder, but, you know, I'd kind of like, we you know, my wife wants to go there. I'm like, yeah, you know, because I don't get it. You know, that kind of stuff doesn't float my boat particularly. Anyway, but yeah, they're going bankrupt apparently. And my wife made the joke, who, you know, she would go there and does like that. And she's like, you know, the irony is that they're going to not honor the coupons anymore. But the first sale is going to be 15 to 20% off. So it's going to be like, who cares? What's the difference? But
even 20% off, like they had bed, and maybe that's just how expensive regular ones are. But like, I'm not, $400 on a comforter?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's
hello,
not
super
cheap.
Thrift.
It's not
yeah.
cheap. That's right. So I wonder what's going to go in there if that does
Spirit
happen.
Spirit Halloween.
Oh, well, yeah, at least for now. Yeah. Not exactly the year-round store that you were hoping to anchor Best Buy.
Year-round Spirit Halloween.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines.
Yeah.
David?
Senate Intelligence Committee member Mark Warner confirming that all U.S. embassy staffers have been evacuated from Sudan.
About 100 U.S. military special operations forces undertook a daring rescue mission in Sudan over the weekend. They rescued roughly 80 U.S. government personnel who've been locked down in the capital city, Khartoum, for more than a week as that city has been ravaged by violence.
NBC's Courtney Cube and one American was killed in the fighting between the Sudanese military and a paramilitary group. President Biden calling for a ceasefire in that conflict. The mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, is saying a culture of fear and paranoia is what led to the shooting of a black 16-year-old who knocked on the wrong door last week. Mayor Quentin Lucas said politicians and the media are to blame for the culture war where people immediately go for guns. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he's willing to meet with any American elected official who wants to visit his country. And as he says that, Governor Ron DeSantis planning to visit Israel this week. He's scheduled also to be the keynote speaker at an event in Jerusalem organized by the Museum of Tolerance.
Yeah, you know, going back to that Kansas City story, David, thanks so much for the update. That's I do know there's a lot of people who own guns that don't know the law about them or would use them in the wrong situations when it's completely unjustified like this. And that's, I guess for me, I take comfort in knowing that as many times as we have talked to our law enforcement partners on this show about, you know, when you can, when you can't, you know, what's the law, what's not the law, what's self-defense, what's not self-defense, all that. And by the way, I don't disagree with the general assessment that media does a poor job generally of explaining this stuff. Yes, culture of fear perpetuated a lot of times by, you know, people who work in my industry, but also a culture of ignorance. And that's about the law and about guns in general. You know, it's this basic problem. Like there are certain areas of sort of news that traditional media just doesn't do very well at covering. And one of them is religion. I've talked about this many times because most of them are not religious. It's very hard to cover a subject like religion accurately when you don't believe it. You don't own it. You don't have a history with it, right? And so some try, but it's been a long time since we had like religion editors, you know, at the paper, right? It's been a long time since, you know, the you could count on somebody on television really giving you a good balanced presentation of what the Pope said about any subject. Well, same thing, unfortunately, when it comes to guns. We know the politicians, many of them, are incredibly dumb when it comes to guns. And it's true also of many people who cover the news. And the headline that's been driving me crazy most recently is, you know, this raises questions about stand your ground laws. Okay. Stand your ground as a concept only applies if you're away from your property. the whole idea of a stand your ground concept, stand your ground law, is when you're out in public off your property, you do not have the duty to retreat. You typically, historically in the law, you had a duty to retreat if you could. You were not justified in just standing there and defending yourself. If you could flee, you could before you use deadly force. Stand your ground laws came in as a result of the belief that, no, if you're threatened in public, you're entitled to hold your public space the same way you hold your home, the same way you hold your porch, the same way you hold your lawn, that it's like your castle doctrine of your home applied outside of the home. Now, there's a lot of controversy over whether that's the appropriate law or not, but that's what the law is. So I see all of these headlines related to these horrible stories of these, you know, people getting shot in driveways and shot on porches and, you know, winding up in the wrong home. And all those are not stand your ground cases. They have nothing to do with stand your ground because they happen on your private property. That's castle doctrine or self-defense or you know, depending on what the scenario is. So, again, it's just I agree with him. There's too much focus on crimes and fear. And there's also not enough just basic education about what the law is, whether you're, you know, what is the justification for using a gun? When can you shoot? When can you not shoot? What is the law? All of that stuff. And, you know, so agreed. You know, my industry, we can do better. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, this is kind of interesting. I had not picked up on this, but there's a relatively new-ish, very right-leaning website out there called the Florida Standard. And they made the observation that when the 6-week abortion bill passed in the House last week, that there were 16 GOP lawmakers who didn't vote for it, about half of which voted no and about half of which were not present for the vote. And so they kind of caught up with them to ask them, you know, why. And the answers range and don't give you a lot of clarity other than, you know, some said 15 weeks seems right to me. Some said that I didn't think that that was an appropriate number to get to. But it really raises the other question that's been discussed quite a bit, which is at the federal level, you know, should there be some kind of a federal law? And President Trump said that there should not be because he believes that, you know, it got put to the states. And then the Susan B. Anthony list came out and said, whoa, I thought you said you were pro-life. What gives, brother? And which is somewhat of a fair criticism, okay? You know, President Trump is not an ideological conservative. I don't think anybody believes that he is. Even the most ardent supporters, he's not. Social conservative, he's not. But he's pro-life. But you can still be pro-life. I mean, look, Roe v. Wade is overturned because of President Trump. Hard to make the case that he's not pro-life, right? He did more in that regard than anybody has ever done in the history of this, since the 50 years that abortion was legal, 49 years abortion was legal. But you can be pro-life and still not believe there ought to be a federal law if you believe that it's not something that the federal government should have authority over at all stages in pregnancy. You know, you could believe, for example, that the federal government under the life rights concept should have authority starting at 15 weeks or 12 weeks or 6 weeks even, and not believe that it should be federally banned all the way back to conception. You could believe that, you know, mifepristone, you know, is horrible and wrong and not believe that it's justified to stop it with the federal government because the federal government doesn't have that authority under the Constitution. You know, you can be pro-life and wish the Constitution were different, but I don't know, the criticism that somebody, you know, and you know me, I don't mind taking criticisms of President Trump when he's wrong on something, but I thought this was a mistake. Just because it made it seem like there are no pro-lifers, you're not pro-life unless you believe there ought to be a federal ban on abortion. Okay, I would prefer to see one, but even I'm not sure the Constitution justifies it, which is why we've always said Roe versus Wade was mostly wrong because it tried to make it a federal rule when the government doesn't have the permission to make that rule. That should have been a states' rights issue all along. And if we want to make it an amendment, then make it an amendment. But I don't think that it has to be a rule federally.